that we heard read to us, and let us think about them in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you can speak to us because we ask that our hearts are open to receive your word so that you can work in each one of us. Lift us up and let us hear those words. Let them be written on our hearts and let us use them as we work in your way in our lives. For we ask this in your name. Amen. From Paul's day to our own, the cross has been a cause of offence to many. The so-called wisdom of the world is seen as more desirable than the wisdom of God, which is foolishness to those who are perishing. And the stumbling block of the cross of Christ continues. In a very worldly and to some degree sophisticated Corinth, where wealth, status, and human wisdom and oratory are prized, the cross of Christ caused offence and was foolishness to those who were perishing. Corinthian values of human wisdom and oratory were in the church at Corinth, and the danger was that they would change the gospel, change the message of the cross to suit the world, to make it more palatable to those who had great rhetorical skills and human understanding, rather than those who preach the divine wisdom of the cross. In verse 17, we read, "Christ sent me," said Paul, "to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." For many in the world, the cross and the gospel is completely absurd. In reality, the gospel is the power of God for our salvation. Today, the cross of Christ is still a cause of offence. The message of the cross of Christ is still foolishness to those who are perishing. To them, the cross is the weakest link. The preaching of Christ crucified is still a stumbling block or an offence, both to Jews and a foolishness to Gentiles. But we must not alter the message of the cross. It is true. Yes, it is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so we must preach Christ crucified, just as Paul says in verse 23. The message or word of the cross includes both the matter and the manner of the preaching, and neither please those who are perishing. In their wisdom, the message of the cross is foolishness. In Rome, there's a carving which shows how the worldly wise regarded the message of the cross. It shows a worshipper standing before a crucified figure with the body of a man and the head of an ass. The inscription underneath reads, "Alexamenos worships his God." It's still true today. Those who are perishing are blind to the truth of the gospel. To them, it is absurd. A message of a crucified Saviour, of the Messiah dying on the cross, As someone has written, no mere human in his right mind or otherwise would have dreamed up God's scheme of redemption through a crucified Messiah. It's too preposterous. It's too humiliating. Yet, this gives us another good reason for believing that it did happen, doesn't it? And that it was God's doing. No human would have invented it with any hope that people would believe it to be true. To us, we are being saved. The message of the cross is the power of God. It's not simply good advice, nor is it information about God's power. It is God's power. Paul backs up what he says in verse 18 with scripture. And the quote comes from Isaiah chapter 29, verse 14. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the intelligence of the intelligent. I will frustrate. God's way stands in contrast with that suggested by human wisdom. People always think their way is right, don't they? But God proves wrong their wisdom. He reduces their systems to nothing. Neither the wisdom of the wise nor the intelligence of the intelligent can stand before God. In verse 20, Paul hammers home his point with the words, where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? No human wisdom can benefit before God. Human wisdom is transitory. This world is but a passing show, and its wisdom passes with it. And God has not simply disregarded this wisdom or shown it to be foolish. He has made it foolish. God rejected all that rests on mere human wisdom. As Paul is saying in verse 21, God is his wisdom. God in his wisdom chose to save people by the way of the cross and by no other way. He uses the word pleased, and pleased indicates this was God's free and sovereign choice. His plan was never that people should come and know him by their exercise of wisdom. God's way was very different and very unexpected. So much so that Paul says it is foolishness. And someone put it this way. People have never acclaimed the gospel as a masterpiece of wisdom. To the natural man, it doesn't make sense. Paul was not unaware of what he was up against as he preached the gospel. And we should not be either. The gospel itself, the message that God saves us through the crucified Saviour, is foolishness. People do not receive salvation by exercising wisdom, which is where a number of people get stuck. No. Salvation comes to those who believe. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. And it can be seen in the verses 22 to 25. The Jews want evidence, as some people still do today. They demand miraculous signs. They had demanded a sign from Jesus. To them, a crucified Messiah was a contradiction in terms. And the Greeks look for wisdom. They looked down, as some people do today, on all who failed to appreciate their wisdom. Some of the Greek philosophers did have high intellectual perception, but all their wisdom has no saving power for mankind. But we, says Paul emphatically, preach Christ crucified, the message of the cross, the message that came from God, not from a preacher. We are to faithfully proclaim that gospel message of Christ crucified. For the tense of the word crucified means that the crucifixion of Christ is permanent in its efficacy. But Christ crucified is a stumbling block, especially to Jews, and its foolishness to Gentiles. To Jews, the cross is an offence. To them, those hanged bore the curse of God. The Gentiles saw the cross as foolishness, as sheer folly. There was no wisdom in it from their point of view. Surely God would never act like that. Both Jews and Gentiles reject the crucified Jesus. But in verse 24, we see those called by God, Jew or Greek, welcome the message. Those called know that the crucified Christ means power. Before God called them, they were defeated by sin. But now there's a new power at work in them, the power of God, a power that many of us here this morning will know in our lives. Christ is also the wisdom of God. That Christ is both the power and wisdom of God is important, because had the way of God been opened through wisdom, Christianity would have opened the way to salvation only to the gifted. The power of the cross opens the way for the humblest to know God and to overcome evil, and that is wisdom superior by far to anything the philosophers can produce. For, as Paul concludes in verse 25, the foolishness of God, that is, the cross, is wiser than man's wisdom. And the weakness of God, the cross, is stronger than man's strength. The sign-seeking Jews were blind to the significance of the greatest sign of all when it was before them. The wisdom-loving Greeks could not discern the most profound wisdom of all when they were confronted by it. The same is true for us today. But to those whom God has called, Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. All this is illustrated by the kind of people God has called. His power works miracles in the most hopeless material, and thus his wisdom excels the best that men can produce. Paul writes, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things of the world and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. God does all this so that no one may boast before him. We have nothing to boast of before God. It is because of him, Paul tells us, verse 30, that we are in Christ Jesus. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ. It is because of him that we are in Christ. In Christ who has become for us wisdom from God. In sharp contrast to the wisdom available in the world, Christ has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Righteousness means that we have been brought into a right standing before God and into a right relationship with him that Christ makes available for his very own. Christ is our righteousness. We know no other. We could never attain holiness in our own strength, but Christ is holiness, and he is redemption. He has paid the ransom price in his own body on that cross of Calvary. Holiness means that we have been set apart for him. We have been bought at a price. We are no longer our own. Redemption means that we have been set free by him from the power and consequence of sin. Christ's work on the cross brings us into a relationship with him so that we might live for him. Therefore, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. So, what's the message for us from this passage this morning? I believe it's this. I believe we need to stick to the true gospel, which is our faith. It is the cross, which brings assurance for us in despair and cause for sober assessment for anyone else. When we want to bring the gospel into conversation with friends and family, we need to stick to the true gospel, the true message of the cross. And yes, to some, we will appear absurd. And to the world, they will still see the message as absurd. But don't be tempted to change it. Stay true to the gospel and don't worry about the human wisdom of our world or what humans will make of it. Don't, is Paul's message, change the message of the cross. God does call. He calls each one of us. And he calls us to stick to the true gospel. And he says, stay there with courage and with persistence and with prayer. And then he says, go out that door and tell others about me. That is the message of the cross for us.